Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
So there was a report, Adam Schefter reported teams are going to try to trade for Mike Tomlin, and Jay Glazer reported teams are going to try to trade for Kevin O'Connell, who only has 1 year left in Minnesota. Would you want to use a top pick? Because I think it would cost a lot.
Here's my trade for Mike Tomlin. Okay?
Yeah.
I will give them the number one pick this year and Sauce Gardner. Let's go.
Wow. I mean, Tomlin is that good. You get a coach that changes
everything. If I could have Peaky, if there was one guy, you said, Joe, anybody, doesn't matter if he's coaching now, whatever, give me one guy you want coaching your team, it's Mike Tomlin. If I saw him on the side, I mean, he's a killer. I mean, my God.
Well, he's also
got
such
that
a good
look.
Yeah,
I mean, he'd be kicking everybody's rear end.
Right.
Oh my God! And I think he'd want Rodgers too because he'd want to win, right? I mean, if Rodgers is much better than Russell Wilson. Let's be honest about it. I think he would take Rodgers in a second to be the quarterback.
What about O'Connell? Would you move Helen high water to get him?
I like O'Connell, but here's my worry with O'Connell. What I said before, he's coming directly from another team, and he's not Mike Tomlin.
Okay. I got you. Yeah.
Mike Tomlin's the exception to every rule that there is, in my mind.
Yeah. No, I mean, I
let me say this.
Yeah.
The Steelers are not. You have to be nuts. And I understand they're ending the year on a four-game losing streak. I get it. You have to be nuts to let Mike Tomlin go.
No, I agree with you, but it seems like Steeler fans, because they haven't won anything in a while.
The problem with Steeler fans is they're an entitled group. You know, they don't know what it is to suck. Okay?
I think they're also, yes, you're right. They don't at all because they've never had it.
Right.
It's been 32 years
since
they've sucked or in any capacity.
32. I think more like 1970 was the last time. Chuck Knoll's first year, they won one game. I think that's the last time.
It's kind of right.
Sucked.
The consistency goes so long.
I know Tomlin never had a losing season.
I don't think Cowher ever did. He might have had an 8. He might have had a 500.
Yeah,
year.
It was like a barely a losing season. So he was 14 years. Tom was like 18 years. It's been over 30 years.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I think the issue in Pittsburgh is that they want the playoff wins, and there just hasn't been a ton of playoff wins.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they haven't won a playoff game in 8 years now.
It's been a while. Is it that long without
playing? Yeah. And I think he's only won like three or four in his career.
He's won one Super Bowl. He's been to two. And that, of course, that was with Roethlisberger. So.
Right. But he lost that one, so that would be two.
He lost to the Packers.
He's lost five consecutive playoff games. The last playoff game they won was all the way back in 2016.
And how many playoff wins does he have in his career?
Let me see.
He's always in the playoffs.
Always. He's 8-10 in his postseason career.
Right.
8-10. A lot of them early, though.
Right.
I mean, because remember, they got to the, as you talked about, two Super Bowls in 3 years very early in his career, including one at the hands of us. You know, that AFC Championship game in Pittsburgh, which I still can't get out of my head.
Sub 500 against the best teams in the division.
Yeah, I agree with you, Joe, in that I think they'd be crazy to do it, and they're not going to do it. It seems like it's a yearly rumor of, will the Steelers get rid of Mike Tomlin? But, Brian Flores, Mike Vrabel, to me, are the top two guys.
Yep. I'll tell you, I'm down with Rex. I mean, I understand Rex, and the media hates him, which makes me like him even more. You know, even my guy, Mark Cannizzaro, I love, wrote a negative column about him. You know, Mushnick wrote a negative column about him, but Mushnick doesn't like anybody. But, he really doesn't. But whatever. Rex wants to be here. Rex wants to coach our team. He's got a major chip on his shoulder. There's no doubt about that. He's got a lot to prove. He's learned a lot over the years he has not been around. He should not have taken the Buffalo job. We talk about that, going right from one team to another generally never works out.
First of all, I love Rex. Rex is always going to have a warm spot in my heart. He's one of the best coaches of my lifetime. So I love Rex Ryan.
It's not the.
I'm just concerned that it's actually going to work. And you mentioned him getting better. Since the Buffalo job ended, he's just been in TV. Has he gotten better?
So
like, they
interviewed Lewis Riddick to be the GM, who I like, by the way.
Yeah.
And he's in TV. I like Lewis Riddick a lot.
Yeah. But the GM, I think, is a little different because
a little bit.
You're not building, you don't have to build your staff the same type of way.
Right.
You probably can use a lot of the existing infrastructure.
I want a guy that's going to kick tail. I really do.
Right.
I want that guy. I don't want some, you know, like I said, somebody mentioned to me Cliff Kingsbury. Oh, you got to be out of your mind. Cliff Kingsbury.
Right.
Let him stay in Washington. He looks good with Jaden Daniels as his.
I mean, he may end up having the two rookies of the year.
Yeah, well.
Because Kyler Murray won rookie of the year.
Yeah.
Now Jaden Daniels looks like he's going to. So,
yeah,
I mean,
he should. He should.
Yeah, but
good
I think
for his resume.
I think he's a good offensive mind as a head coach, as a head guy. I don't know.
No, I don't. I mean, he'll get another shot at some point.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to take some time to rehabilitate.
How do you think this?
He's soft. You know, Kingsbury, I look at him, he's very soft. And we don't need any more softness on the sideline.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're right in that. You know, sometimes this happens in baseball where, like, you have this soft personality, then you want a hard ass, then you go soft and you want a hard ass. It seems like the Jet coaches have been soft for years now.
Yeah.
Too much of this. Too much
of
just getting away with garbage. Who cares if the players love you? Like, at some point, results matter. At some point,
you don't want the players to love you. You want the players to respect you.
Right.
Okay? You don't want them to love you. You want them to respect you.
Right.
And you want them to bust their rear end for you. That's what you want.
Yeah. Who do you think ends up being the guy? Like, if you had to guess right now, does it end badly like it did when they hired Adam Gase, or do you think do the right thing here?
I mean, I don't have a lot of confidence in Woody Johnson. I mean, I just don't. I mean, I just think he's going to do something stupid. I mean, what else would make me think anything differently, bro? You know? Well, I mean, I just do. This is the first I've heard that they're actually interviewing Flores, which I'm happy about. Now, can you interview these guys now or you can't? Can you do virtual?
I think you can for if they're off this week. So it's only.
But Minnesota's playing.
So Minnesota won't be.
Right.
Right.
You could interview Glenn, I guess.
Glenn, yes, because they have a bye week. But again, we were talking about this before the show. It's so convoluted the NFL process to find these head coaches, because most of the best ones are still involved in a team. Like, how do you take their focus away
from... No, you're right. There's one other name I have to... Well, a couple of things. First of all, I do have to clarify, I've been given information that Brian Costello is saying he never said Nagy should coach the team or wants him. He said that's his prediction. Okay, his prediction is Matt Nagy.
Thank you, Brian. Brian, thank you so much.
Now...
Brian wants to see the Jets lose in perpetuity. Let's be honest about it.
I hope not. I don't think so.
Well, you hope not.
Doesn't he want to cover bad teams? Doesn't he want to cover good teams?
Yeah, he wants stories. It's more of a story. You know, let's kick Rodgers out of town. You know, Woody's a buffoon. I mean, of course.
Well,
love that.
I'll give you one other name.
Give me the butt fumble, you know?
The most overrated moment in sports history, but whatever. One other name I have to mention to you, because his contract runs out in a few weeks, and the Chicago Bears, according to Sean, you just read this?
Yeah, according to Adam Schefter.
Adam Schefter. The Chicago Bears have requested to interview this guy, Mike McCarthy.
I like Mike McCarthy. I do, even though he's coming from... And now, first of all, Dallas hasn't fired him yet. Are they fired him?
Well, no, his contract is up.
Oh, his contract's up.
But I read this the other day, and it didn't make sense, but then I realized what it meant. The Cowboys have exclusive rights to negotiate until, I want to say, like February 14th or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Or maybe it's January 14th.
So, it's got to be January, because if it was February, it would screw McCarthy out of taking another job.
So January 14th, he can, until 14th, he can only talk to the Cowboys. And at first, it didn't make sense to me. But it makes sense.
It's January 14th. Okay.
It's so that if he wants to leave... Like, if he's like, all right, Jerry, I love you, dude. Thanks for the opportunity, but you're crazy as hell. I'm out of here. The Cowboys have the exclusive right to negotiate with him until the 14th.
But he's got more power than even Dallas now, because, Joe, if Mike McCarthy wants to leave, he can just leave.
Yeah.
He'd
just sign with the Jets if he wants.
To the 14th, though.
I like McCarthy. I think McCarthy's definitely... I know he had issues with Rodgers in the old days.
Did you answer? Yes or no?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm in with McCarthy. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give you one other guy.
Yes.
That I would be in for, okay? And I haven't heard his name with the Jets or anything like that. Pete Carroll.
Hmm. Are you concerned that he may be here for just a couple of years because he's an older guy? I don't know if he's going to coach for the next 10 years.
Well,
how many years is he going to be around?
Win for me. If he wins, he can leave.
Well,
goes without saying.
You know what I mean? I do like Pete Carroll. I know he did coach the team, you know, back in 1990, all the way back in 1994, and that was a disaster. Only the 1 year, but you can't go by that. I wouldn't be against Pete Carroll, but I am very intrigued by Mike McCarthy. Yes, I do like. He should have been the coach when they hired Gage.
I know.
That was a massive mistake that they made there. You know, Peyton Manning got involved. Please, please. I don't want anybody from another team that could care less about the Jets getting involved in deciding who the coach is. I'm definitely down with McCarthy, yes.
It'll be an interesting couple of weeks to see where this goes. Joe, we appreciate
One more thing before I let you go.
Of course.
What's the story with Pete? Is he coming back to
us? Here's the story with Pete. All right, here's what I think is going to happen.
Go ahead.
I think we're going to have to wait a long time.
You think so?
I think there's a standoff.
It's a February thing?
I think there's a March thing.
Oh, wow. March?
Yeah. I think this is going to happen. I think this is exactly what happened last year with the other Boris clients. Boris and Pete want 5 years or six years or whatever they're wanting.
Right.
The Mets are not even close to that, and no one else is.
Yeah.
So I can't
The Mets offered him 3 years and 90, didn't they?
That's a report. I don't even know if that's true, but they've offered him short-term deals, which I think they're going to offer him continuously. I don't think there's a market for him, so the Mets aren't just going to give in because why do they? There's no market for him, and I think what's eventually going to happen, and it's going to be frustrating because who the hell wants to sit around for 3 months waiting for this?
Well, and as good as that deal sounds, because it's over his AAV that I think he's worth, at $30 million a year, who wants to be a free agent at 31?
Right.
Or, 33.
Well, I think it's going to be an opt-out after year one.
Right.
BC and Sal back on the fan. We'll get back to your Giants calls in just a second. Let's work the Jets into the conversation. So we heard from their owner, Woody Johnson, yesterday. Before we get on Woody and Vrabel and all that, BT, let's listen to the comments from the Jets owner after the game yesterday.
Well, you know, everybody thought this is going to, not just me, thought this was talented, but all the networks that are paying millions of dollars, they put us in six prime time. So everybody thought this was going to be unbelievable. So from that standpoint, yeah, we didn't live up to that early opinion of virtually everybody. But we ended up well, because I don't care about anything else, but a win at the end was good. And so we beat them today. They played well. They didn't give up. Everybody showed up. We did some really nice things. So I'm proud of the guys.
Dude. Yeah, I mean, I saw that yesterday.
I actually...
Woody, just keep walking.
I legitimately, at that point... Because remember, we were like hopeful that maybe Woody acknowledged his wrongdoings and would maybe change after we talked to Diana Rossini, who kept writing those reports.
Yeah.
And then Woody, by the way, in the Post with Costello, denied all that.
Yeah, I saw that. That was actually a pretty good piece. There was a lot of stuff there.
If you missed it, check it out in the Post. Brian Costello has a... It wasn't exclusive, I think, with Woody.
Yeah.
But basically denied all that stuff that Rossini wrote. I
watched about a son being involved in all that. It's
son
definitely
no
worth
decision.
Checking out.
Hearing Woody and reading the quotes about it, I have no hope that he gets it this time.
Well, okay, listen, I'm going to lean on something that I've leaned on a lot, partly to get me through some of these times with our teams, but also because I truly believe it. I'm not going to get too wrapped up in what he says. I'm going to react to what he does. And I know that, you know, they really need an established guy because of Aaron Glenn. I think that's a little different. I'm going to put him aside for a moment. But any other move other than an established coach, Vrabel's obviously not coming, but like a Flores or a Gruden or somebody that's done the job before, it tells me that he's not going to change. So I just want to see who he hires, and then we'll get a sense of how willing he is to change.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that they can't ever have success.
No, I know.
But it's just, Woody just doesn't get it, and he never will. Like, that to me is clear. Again, he can make a good hire, and they can win in spite of him. He clearly doesn't get it. I don't know how you could say, well, they won yesterday, and nothing else matters, and we finished strong. Like, that's just so tone deaf and out of touch. He just doesn't get it. Okay, but now get back to the important stuff. And it seems like the Jets are interviewing everybody. The Rams front office, the Chiefs front office. Vance Joseph is on the list. Brian Griese is on the list.
Rex tomorrow,
which was a huge mistake. And Rex today basically saying, see, that's the one that
I heard some of that.
Rex saying that he thinks he's going to get the job. Like, that's the only... I wouldn't want Ron Rivera either. Of the names so far. And there are some others that I wouldn't want. But they still, even though Vrabel, and of course the Patriots firing Mayo after 1 year, realizing they made a mistake and knowing Vrabel is on the table, they're doing the right thing and are probably going to hire Vrabel. You could connect those dots as you did last week before this even happened. So it seems like maybe your top choice in Vrabel going to be off the board. Doesn't mean the Jets can't still get a good head coach. There are plenty of good options. I would go with Pete Carroll. I would love Cliff Kingsbury, Brian Flores. There's some risk in some of these guys. Gruden, sure.
Yep.
But I still think they can make a good hire here. And they seem to be doing their due diligence in interviewing almost everybody except for Ben Johnson for whatever reason.
Yeah, I know they're not going to talk to him. Now, due diligence is great. Talk to as many people as you can. Gleam as much info as you can. That's what smart people do. But there's also the risk of having too many conversations and not having enough, you know, substantive conversations. Like where...
Narrow it down a little.
Yeah, and they will. Of course, listen, they're going to obviously narrow this thing down. You know, the Jets to me, and it really just a bigger picture launch point here for a moment. Like it's amazing. It really is amazing. All year, you know, we're sitting there watching the games. You know, how come they can't force turnovers? Well, they got a bunch of them yesterday when it means nothing. How come Rodgers can't throw a ton of touchdowns? Well, you got four of them from them yesterday. How come the Jets can't win divisional games? Well, they beat up on the Dolphins yesterday. It really is amazing just how when you want them to do it, they don't. When you don't want them to do it, they do. But the Jets are actually a lot more correctable soon than I really think a lot of people think. Now, they've got to obviously change the run defense, and Rodgers is the massive elephant in the corner of the room, which we could get back to. But I remember, I said this last night on the podcast, it's out there if you guys want to check it out. I remember after the 90s, a million years ago, but there's a point here. After the 96 season when the Jets won once, right? I'm in Atlantic City, and it's the night that Princess Diana was killed in the car wreck.
Oh, yeah,
and yeah, that's why I mm-hmm. really, truly remember everything. And we're coming back. It's in the morning. Like, we're coming back at, like, 9 in the morning. We were up all night. And me and, like, five of my buddies, I had just graduated college. I had my first apartment after college. And the Jets are playing at 4 o'clock that day at the Old Kingdom against Seattle. And this is Parcells' first game. They went from a 1-15 train wreck. Now, we all sat down, hammering back beers, watching the Jets. I didn't know what to expect. You know what happened that day? The Jets won 41-3 on the road. And I don't think the Kings were a terrible team. I'm not saying that the same fate awaits whomever coaches this team. But the first thing that this Jets team has to do, if you are not a film guy, if you're not an assignment guy, if you're a selfish guy, get lost. Like, for the Jets to get even remotely competitive, which they're going too fast with the right coach, all you have to do is get rid of a few selfish people. They're not, and cut down the penalties are born out of laziness or selfishness, right? And you're either trying to get pad the stats, or you're just not paying attention to film and whatever, your head's in space. Sal, that's why you can't run the risk of a coordinator, unless it's Glenn and he's different. The more I think about it, because Vrabel's not coming, Flores.
Yeah.
That's my guy.
Yeah.
That's my guy.
I'd be okay with that.
I need a kick-ass guy in here.
Well, why not Pete Carroll, though?
I don't think Pete's a kick-ass guy.
Yeah.
I don't think he's that guy.
Yeah, I don't know if you need a kick-ass guy.
Oh, no, they need a kick-ass guy. No, 16 penalties for 120-something yards against the Bills.
Salah was a kick-ass
guy. No, he wasn't. No. We thought he was.
I was supposed to be a badass guy.
He's the worst kind of kick-ass guy. Somebody who looks like an ass-kick guy who's docile. I need an ass-kick. I don't care what you look like. Just be an ass-kick guy.
I want a real head coach. I would love Brian Flores here. He wouldn't be my first choice, but I would love to see Brian. Just because, again, I'm trying to eliminate the question marks in the candidates. I want a known commodity. But I do think that the Jets are a lot closer. I heard Gio this morning say that both the Jets and the Giants next year have a 0% chance.
I heard him say that. I totally disagree.
So do I.
At least with the Jets.
Yeah, and who knows? He did say who knows with the NFL. But I disagree. I think the Jets could actually be a good team.
Me too. Look at the word. Dolphins are going backwards. Patriots aren't going to be good yet.
With a real head coach who comes in and cleans up the mess, identifies, nope, this guy's a loser, this guy's a baby, this guy's selfish, cleans up the mess, they can start to win football games. That's why I want a no doubt about it. Carroll, Gruden, again, I'd be open to Kingsbury, who's an offensive mind and a second chance. Flores, who's a badass and had some success with Miami. Yeah, I'd be open to all that. I don't think, though, just because Vrabel is seemingly off the board, that all hope is gone for the Jets. I still believe there is a clear path that's not too difficult for them to have immediate success next year.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think all hope is gone. I think the home run target for me is obviously going to be gone, and I've been talking about Vrabel for over a month. That's who I wanted, not happening. Yep. I think he played the Jets like a fiddle. I think the symbolism of him, of the Jets being his first interview, not the Jets' first, his first interview was a direct shot. Hey, Kraft, let's go. I mean,
you might be coaching against me.
Better hurry up, buddy, because I'm walking into this building, and if you don't get your act together and fire me, because he couldn't say it, and I don't
don't think that he wanted a behind the scenes Vrabel. I don't even think he wanted his guys, his agents, his people to do a power flex on a former Patriot, a guy who won championships. He wanted no blood on his hands. So by walking into the Jets building, that was his way of saying, get rid of Mayo and you got me. I saw that coming a mile away. That's what's going to happen.
Good job by you, because initially I was like, wow, that's weird. Why would he want to go to the Jets? Why would Vrabel have interest in the Jets?
Yeah,
makes no sense.
Well, and the other thing too is, think about this. Compared to the Patriots, and now this obviously is something that every potential Jets candidate is going to have to measure. Like, the Patriots have, I want to say, $130 million in cap space. The Jets don't. The Patriots have a top five pick. The Jets don't. Now, it's only two picks later, but it's seven. But they've got a young, ascending, very talented, very cheap quarterback going into year two, and the Jets have the complete opposite, literally, in a guy who's 40 or 41 with a ton of dead weight if you cut him or trade him, and you got to find out what to do with Rodgers. Like, what appealing, a more stable owner in Kraft versus Woody. You tell me which building you want
to
stay in.
Also, and Mike Francesa always used to say this, you don't want to be the guy to replace the guy.
Yeah, so I remember him saying that.
Yeah, so Belichick now was replaced by Mayo, who never had a chance. And now Vrabel comes in, he's replacing Mayo. He's not even replacing the guy anymore.
You win seven games, you're a hero. Look at Vrabel.
It is the perfect spot. Former Patriot, good head coach, all the things that you just mentioned. Perfect landing.
You want to left though real quick though, Sal. Just think about this. If you told us, because we sat here in August and we all had our thoughts on what the Jets could be. If you told us then that Aaron Rodgers is going to throw just around 30 touchdowns, he did.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is going to suit up for every single game this year. He did. Did you think that they'd win five games?
No. Even I, who didn't have great expectations, I thought maybe nine, which would have been under their number. Like, if Rodgers stayed healthy, and I'm happy for him to get number 500, and he looked good. And I would say, and I know Rodgers said he's going to make these decisions. While it seems like it's obvious the Jets aren't going to bring him back, I think he's going to want to play. Now, where he's going to end up, what options he's going to have, that I don't know. And maybe he'll make his decision based on that after the fact. But I believe Rodgers still believes he's got some good football left in him. I believe he does as well.
Yep.
And he's a competitor. He does not want to go out like that. I think he does want to come back here and win here. Because
I think he's open to it.
Which is why I just want to see it just one more year.
Me too. I'm okay with it. You know, the thing too is, like, I don't know. You throw four touchdowns. Is that the impetus to walk away? I don't know what's in his heart. But think about this. Hey, you know what? Not that he's this outwardly cocky. He's clearly confident. He won't say this, but you know, if you throw four touchdowns and all the whispers, Rodgers can't play, Rodgers is done, Rodgers finished, he stinks, and I know that they were basically all short passes, but whatever. The record will forever reflect four touchdowns if that's his final game. Maybe that's like, all right, I did prove I could still play a little bit. The last 2 months of football were much better than the first 2 months, statistically provable by a wide margin. And is that enough, or is it, hey man, I just threw four more touchdowns, maybe I could throw 40 next year? I don't know.
I think it's that.
I kind of do too.
Because of the competitor that he is.
Yeah.
Think about this, BT. This guy's one of the great quarterbacks of all time, regardless of what happened. He could have easily walked away after the Achilles injury on September 11, 2023. Like, that could have been it for him.
Yeah.
Goes into the sunset, four-time MVP, Super Bowl champion. Hey, you know what? I tried a new, I'm not working my way back. He worked his way back at age 40, went through the rigorous rehab nonstop through the offseason, all to come back this year, dealt with the nonsense that was the Jets season with the firing of coaches and this and that, the struggling all throughout the course of the year, played every single game.
He did.
So left standing and healthiest at the end of the season, now gets to have a real respite and a good break in the offseason, getting set for next season. I think Rodgers wants to play next year. I felt that way before he went into the darkness last time.
Yeah.
I think he wants to play.
I just wonder if Woody's going to change his mind on whether or not he wants Aaron back.
He said he's going to let the coach make that decision. I hope he actually does that. Point is, they're going to make a decision in a couple of days. They don't have a head coach yet. So how's that going to be the case? All right, BT and Sal on the fan. We'll come back, get to your calls. Jets, Giants, 888-808-1019.
Connie Carberg, who is a listener every day, and she was one of the first, if not the first, female scout in the NFL. We see her at training camp every year. She is awesome. They're doing a documentary on her that I think should be coming out in the next couple of months. But she listens every day. And she said that Adam Gase and Rich Kotite were both head coaches before the Jets. Doesn't mean success. in responding to my take about it has to be a guy who's had experience. Now, obviously, there's lots of guys out there that have experience being a head coach that I wouldn't hire. But to me, still, that has to be a prerequisite. Now, Adam Gase, when he was hired, came out of a situation in Miami where, you know, he had actually had a winning season there. I believe he was fired after a 9-7 season.
Yeah, and of course he came with Peyton Manning's blessing.
Right.
And the Richie Kotite thing I lived through.
Sure.
And I lived through because Richie reconnected with Leon Hess because the Philadelphia Eagles did not want to renew Richie's contract. And Richie basically connected because he was on the Joe, what the heck is his name? Richie
Walton.
Yeah, Joe Walton. I think he was on that staff, and he was the tight ends coach or something, and they had a relationship there. And we lost our last couple games in 1995, and Leon Hess was at a point of like no return. We had lost Dick Steinberg, our GM, the summer of 95 to cancer. 94, I'm sorry, the summer of 94 to cancer. And then we were like a lost, there was no leadership on the team. And that's why when Pete Carroll got fired, I was like stunned. I think we all were stunned. And in came Richie Kotite, and they gave him complete control of the team. That was the other part of it that nobody really talks about. And he actually did acquire some good players via free agency. And when they did hire Bill Parcells after that, he brought discipline. He brought a few of his guys into that locker room.
That's what they need now.
Exactly.
Exactly what they need
it's
now.
It's exactly where they are, right where they were after the 1997 season.
Now, the record was
or
not
1996
as,
season.
Right. The record not as bad, but it might as well be with the way things had just completely fell apart. So, yes, I mean, not all guys with experience are created equal, but you just cannot. The alternative is just cannot work again. You can't pull a first-time head coach who was a coordinator and spit him out here in this situation. It's different. And this isn't just us because we're here and living through it. I mean, you cover the entire NFL. You've been doing it for 100 years now. Like, I'm a fan of a team that's out of market. There is something different about the Jets. And the owner is an issue. The history is an issue. The fact that they don't play in their own stadium is an issue. The fan base being as negative as they are. Like what Steve Cohen said about the Mets, I want to change the negative perception of the Mets fan. The Jets need that type of thing now. Now, Woody's not selling the team, but you cannot hand it over to an assistant GM and a coordinator at this point in franchise history if you're serious about getting out of this thing.
Well, unfortunately, in the last 30 years, only two guys have been able to do that. One was Bill Parcells, and the other one was Rex Ryan, where their personalities were so dominating, they were able to overcome all the shortcomings. And Rex played this whole, I'm a Jet, we're a Jet, we're all Jets. You know, he knew how to play the media. He knew how to play the fan base. And that's why he was such a popular head coach. So that, you know, that's you know, to me, and Rex was a coordinator. He wasn't even a head coach. And, you know, they took a gamble on him. And he aced it. He aced it early on, and he knew how to play to the Jet fan, and that's why they loved him.
And they're interviewing him again. So there's an interview set up. I'd be shocked if he got the job back. I mean, I've seen lots of strange things happen around here in sports. That would be up there as one of the strangest if he came back and coached this team. But I do think that Woody loves the guy, respects the guy, brought him a lot of good moments, happy moments that we haven't seen since.
And why fire the guy?
You know, I think what it was at the time, if going back, is that he had fired Idzik and Rex were still there, and he felt like he couldn't bring in another general manager and hand Rex or have Rex still be there with the job. So, and things were going weird. It was things were off the rails at that point.
But I kind of feel like it has to be that kind of coach. I don't know. I just feel like somebody that has been through the ring or through the mill, I should say, and they should be able to handle the media, speak well. By the way, Brian Daboll has handled the media perfectly.
He's never said anything that's been controversial or never blew up a story that didn't need to be blown up.
The only thing that I thought where he got a little bit off of his chest was when they won last week against the Colts and said, this is what good quarterback play can do for you.
Did he say that? Because he said something along the lines I heard say, you know, that's the way the quarterback should play or something like that.
But it's good quarterback play, and that's what you get, and that's what happens when you win. So that was like, I don't know if that's a shot across the GM's bow, the owner's bow, who knows. Or maybe it was just him blowing off some steam and stating the obvious. Because their quarterback room has got to be the worst in the league right now, or the second worst in the league.
Browns, maybe. Well, they had Jameis playing pretty well there for a while.
But he's not there anymore. He's a free agent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Titans?
Yeah, Titans is pretty bad. Titans is really bad. And those two teams, by the way, picks 1 and 2 in the draft.
Good. Let them take those guys.
Titans, Browns.
Take those guys.
Who the hell is going to be the quarterback for the Giants next year?
I don't know if they could draft somebody in the second or third round, and maybe they find a little bit of a diamond in the rough. Who knows?
BT and Sal back on the fan. We'll continue with your calls here. We're talking Jets. We're talking Rex. We're talking next head coach, 888-808-1019. It's just crazy to me, before I get back to the point I wanted to make about Aaron Glenn and why I think it could be a problem here, it's crazy that the Jets are seemingly, and I think rightfully so, interviewing as many people as possible for their head coaching spot, for the GM vacancy, yet there are many good candidates, specifically Pete Carroll, Cliff Kingsbury, even Gruden, at least take the interview. What harm can it do? You're interviewing Rex. Might as well interview some of the other guys. But back to Aaron Glenn for a second. I don't think Woody would have the full trust and patience that Aaron Glenn, a first-time defensive coordinator, you know, turned head coach, might need. Look at what happened with Todd Bowles. I know it's a different circumstance at the timeline. I forget what Christopher Johnson, you know, taking over when Woody was at the UK, whatever. But there wasn't patience in this town with Todd Bowles, where he has now proven, after a quote-unquote failed stint as a head coach year, but he had a good first year, then it was downhill trying to develop Sam Darnold, goes to be a defensive coordinator, again, has success, gets the head coaching job in Tampa, is in the postseason yet again. He's proven to be a very good head coach in the NFL. But the Jets gave up on him after, what, 3.5 years, whatever it was, after the 4 years. They do the same thing again for Aaron Glenn. If you have a proven commodity, maybe the leash is a little bit longer, especially when you talk about Woody, who's been a meddling owner.
Yeah, I mean, I he's definitely been meddling, but I think that if he's going to still be that type of owner, I don't think it matters if it's, you know, a rookie coordinator or somebody who's more established. I know why you say, like, in theory, he might have a little more trust in the guy who's been there and done that, like a McCarthy or a Flores. But I think when somebody that is tempted to, you know, get their fingerprints on something, I don't think it really matters who's in their way. If it's not going the way they want it to go, they're going to step in. They're going to do what they want.
Right, but then do we just give up all hope?
No, absolutely not. But
even more so, though, I would think that an established guy with some success would have at least more cachet to kind of keep him in his place and keep him at bay a little bit. The Jets had a good head coach. Todd Bowles is it. Maybe fans don't want to hear that. They like going back to Rex because of what happened years ago. Todd Bowles is a better head coach than Rex Ryan. Like, that is a proven fact. That's not an opinion. That is a proven fact. The Jets had Todd Bowles, so they made a good hire. Mike McCagan wasn't a good hire. They couldn't get Bowles any players, but you've seen what he's done here. So even if you find, let's say Aaron Glenn is a good head coach, is the combination of GM and Glenn going to work immediately to a point to satisfy the fan base and Woody Johnson?
Probably not.
Yeah, then
probably
not. So then we're down the same, hire a guy 4 years, you know, 3.5, 4 years later, fire a guy. Hire a guy, sounds great on paper, Salah, everybody wanted all his attitude, this and that. Our head coach could kick your head coach's ass. You saw him on the sideline coming from the Niners. In theory, good head, good hire. 3 years, 3.5 years, out. Like, it's the same vicious cycle. So it's not even a knock on Glenn. I almost feel bad for him in this regard because I do think he's a good candidate, but I just don't think this organization can do that again.
Well, I am intrigued by a former player. Todd Bowles played too, but I mean, maybe a little bit more recent, whatever. You know, that trend doesn't always work, but it's worked a little bit. I think Mike Vrabel's terrific. I think Aaron Glenn could be really, really good. Obviously, you look in Detroit with Campbell, And that's working out pretty well for them. Yeah, I mean, listen, there's a lot of different ways to go about this. The fact that he played for the Jets, maybe, I mean, eventually that would expire as well. But I think you get a little more built in equity with the fans and a little more trust because if it is Aaron Glenn, he was here. And listen, but the bottom line is this. I don't care if it's, even if it was Vrabel or some coordinator we're not even thinking about, if you don't get it in the contract, it doesn't matter what we say. It doesn't matter what Woody says.
They're never going to get it in the contract, though, right?
Well, somebody like Glenn probably wouldn't. Somebody like Mike Vrabel probably could. Think about this. If Woody Johnson, I said this last hour, like, of course, Mike Vrabel's going to wind up with the Patriots, but it doesn't mean you don't throw a last-second Hail Mary. All right, Mike, you know, I'm just throwing out numbers. I could be wildly off on this. Mike, they're giving you $7 million a year. I'm going to give you 11. And, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm going to give you institutional control contractually, meaning you have final say in conjunction with the general manager, however you want to word it, that completely limits Woody's ability to intercede. Now, somebody like Vrabel can position himself for that because he's such a highly sought after commodity. Then you throw in the regional, territorial, you know, relationship, Jets, Pats, and all that stuff, and maybe Woody would flinch. I don't think he would flinch on that demand or acquiesce for somebody like Aaron Glenn or Kingsbury, even a Flores who's a coordinator right now, and you know he's got the legal stuff going on. But somebody like Vrabel, I think that he would. But you got to get something in the contract, otherwise Woody is going to Woody.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. We're talking to Rex Ryan today. Todd is in Westchester. What's up, Todd?
Hey, I'm a 20-year-old, and I've witnessed the Jets suck my entire life. Last time I saw them win was Rex Ryan. I've been through elementary school, middle school, high school, almost through college. Aaron Glenn is the second coming of Robert Sala. We don't need another Robert Sala. We need someone who could embrace this Jets suck. Glenn would be a great head coach for 25 teams out there. The Jets aren't one of them. Rex Ryan would embrace how bad we are. He would be like, hey, this is awful. We need to fix this. And he would fix it.
Well, when you say he would fix it, I agreed with you to a certain extent. But when you say he would fix it, what is that based off of?
Look, he brought the energy to that 2012 team. I remember being an 8-year-old watching that team. They were electric on the field. And look, he's not an offensive guy. He shouldn't pick our next quarterback. But I saw we just interviewed Josh McCown as a head coach candidate. Why not bring him in as an offensive coordinator? Look, there's so many things that we can't just go with the old, go with this guy, he's the best candidate, go with that guy, he's the best on paper. We need someone who has the ability to bring us out of this perennial suck.
Listen, it's interesting, Todd. I appreciate the call. He does not have the torment. Many of us, they said he's 20.
Yeah, he's only 20.
He's a young buck.
Hasn't even got a taste of it.
Yeah, but Todd, watch. It's going to catch up to you, pal.
It's just coming
your way, man. He's learning.
Yeah, maybe they make the right hire. Maybe not.
The only thing that I don't get is like, well, I mean, I do, but I don't agree with it. Like, everybody positions this like it's so unique. Like, oh, there's only one guy who can handle the Jets. Why? Herm Edwards did a pretty good job for a bunch of years with the Jets. Other men, and not just named Parcells, have had, you know, representative seasons here with the Jets. I mean, hell, Pete Carroll was doing great before they flushed out that December, and I think they went 0-5. They lost every game. But Pete Carroll up to that point was doing really good. Al Groh started 4-0. You know, Eric Mangini was doing well, and then Brett Favre got hurt. Like, it's not like Rex Ryan's the only one who has this kryptonite that's going to hold it up in space and, like, deflect all of the negative energy that comes the way of the Jets. What are we talking about? Get a coach.
The reason why is because Rex talks like a fan.
Yeah, but I don't buy it.
He also coaches like a fan.
Yeah, I know.
That's part of the problem.
Yeah, you know what's crazy, too? Like, I know the optics matter, and that's to an extent. That's why I was pretty pumped up, and obviously what he did with the Niners defense. Like, to me, you've heard this with players, like at the combine or in the weight room, like they look like Tarzan, they play like Jane. Robert Saleh looks like Tarzan, he coached like Jane.
Right.
You know, Rex Ryan presents like Tarzan,
right,
but too often he coaches like Jane. You know, I think that Aaron Glenn can kind of look the part and also coach the part, and I believe Flores can as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, Flores has the experience,
yeah,
which is why I want him. Again, the number one thing, there's a lot of layers here. If you're looking for a total rebuild, then I'd be okay. Like, if you told me that Woody's going to just bring in a new general manager, hire a young head coach, first-time head coach in Aaron Glenn, and let them evaluate and clean house and have the next 4 or 5 years runway to clean up the Jets right now and maybe have some success next year, but new quarterback eventually, like all those different things. Okay, I guess I'd be okay with that, but he's got to stay the course, meaning beyond just the, okay, here you go again, same type of philosophy, hiring the hot coordinator, taking over a team and rebuilding and only having 3 years, 3.5 years to do it, and falling short and firing them. Like, it can't keep being that same cycle. And I don't think that needs to be the case with the Jets where they're at right now. You could have made an argument to keep Joe Douglas. Certainly, you could have. They should have just kept Robert Saleh in season. Like, to me, the timing of that just was messed up. But Joe Douglas, you could have made the argument to potentially keep him. Things went off the rails, so I totally get it. But there's dysfunction beyond many different levels, BT. I don't think that the Jets are that far away from being a competitive team, which is why I think, no doubt about it, they need a proven head coach, which to me is Flores over Glenn.
So if Rodgers is the quarterback next year, do you think the Jets have a chance to win the Super Bowl or get there?
I mean, better chance than who the alternative is, but I wouldn't say that they're a Super Bowl team.
Yeah, no, neither would I. Yeah. I've learned my lesson here. Yeah. And if that's the case, now, this would support the notion of moving on from Rodgers. If you don't, the object's still to win. I know the Jets never do, but the object's to win. So if you don't think, and I'm with you, this is far from a Super Bowl team, though I do think they could be cleaned up quickly to a wild card-ish kind of team. I do believe that.
But then you never know.
That's true. You never know. But realistically speaking, not a Super Bowl. Too many holes, too many flaws, right? Too many issues.
Hard to go from no playoffs in 15 years to Super Bowl.
Yeah. So if that's the case, why wouldn't you just move on?
Okay, but because I still believe you can salvage winning now, building a foundation.
But at what cost? Like, if you're winning nine games with Rodgers, aren't you just delaying the inevitable?
No, because if you're building a foundation of a successful franchise, the idea would be, like it was supposed to be a few years ago, bring in Rodgers, have success, and then insert, at that time, Zach Wilson in and hope to keep the machine moving. Now, obviously, it fell apart and they ruined their season. Rodgers got hurt, which ruined this season in part because of the rehab he had to do. They ruined Zach Wilson because he was thrown again to the Wolves when he wasn't ready. The whole thing blew up in their faces. But you can double or triple down, it would be at this point, try to finally lay that groundwork to build a successful, stable foundation for once, and then transition to the next. Otherwise, you're going to be again throwing a young quarterback
like the Niners,
young head coach.
Like the Niners. Think about it. The Niners got to the Super Bowl with Garoppolo. Now, they fell short this year, but you know they've been very, very good with not only Purdy, but even some other guys. When guys were hurt, Mullen stepped in. One of you. Like, so that's the culture. Like, that's a franchise that is buttoned up and well-coached, and the roster is, it makes sense, and it's even, and it's
yeah.
That's the ultimate goal. Where, and then if you could get a year, another, like put it this way, if Rodgers, now let's push this forward in an even more, maybe delusional, but definitely more positive way. If Rodgers could replicate next year the 17 games that he played for the final 8 or 9, well, then maybe they could be more than a wild card team.
And here's why I would take...
with the right tweaks.
Yeah, here's why I would take a chance on that. Like, I know that we've gotten, as sports fans, too smart for our own good. It's all about, like you said, bottom line. Can they win a Super Bowl? Okay, well, if not, then strip it down and get me to the point where they can win a Super Bowl. That's taking away years of enjoyment because for 15 years, we have not had a chance to sit back on a Saturday or a Sunday and watch the New York Jets in a postseason game.
Yep.
Those are the things that, as fans, we value the most. I want to see that. And I know that we can see that next year if they make the right head coaching decision with bringing back Aaron Rodgers. That is a better possibility than whatever the alternative is. Like, who is the alternative? You're not bringing back Sam Darnold if he becomes available. Who's the stopgap? Are you going to go get Kirk Cousins?
Justin Fields for a year.
I mean,
I'm just throwing stuff out. Yeah, don't love
it. But those are the names.
Did you say Winston?
Yeah.
Somebody like that.
Those are the names that we're talking about. Yeah. So, to me, Rodgers is better than that.
I agree.
And I want to see a winning team, even if it means... doesn't mean the ultimate win. Getting to the playoffs is a start and hopefully can build a foundation.
Now, this is counter... and a contradiction to what you say about the Mets. And I was saying what you're saying now about the Jets, I was saying about the Mets. I remember you always saying, hey, I don't want one good year. I want to be I want to be in the mix every year, and I want sustainable, because that's your team, right?
No, but it is the same thing.
But you're saying...
I think that this bringing back Rodgers and building a foundation should lead to sustained success. And in the Mets case, I'm assuming it's why they want to go after like Bellinger or whatever you're talking about.
Yeah, remember we had that conversation.
Yeah, because I didn't think that would lead them to building the best team.
Okay, I got you.
Only willing to sacrifice that 1 year.
Gotcha, I got you.
You know what I mean?
I do. No, I got you, my bad. I just think for the Jets fans' perspective, and I know it's so miserable, man. It is empty. It feels like work. It's not even remotely enjoyable.
But there are pieces.
Who the hell enjoys football Sundays anymore?
Yeah, I know, but
I don't.
But there are pieces there that you could. Like you'd rather just trade Sauce and trade Garrett.
Not definitively. What I am open to is the right GM coach combo coming in and looking at this roster and saying, and given the freedom by Woody, hey, whatever you think is the right move, I got your back. And if that means shipping one of those two players out, I'm fine with that. If it's Dimitroff or somebody has done this before, and they're like, Sauce, with the film and a tweak and scheme, whatever, a little bit more buttoned up with his technique. He's a superstar like he was his first 2 years. Give him the 100 mil. I'd be okay. Like I'm not predisposed to any one direction except I don't want Rex.
Yeah, I was just gonna say
that's the only thing.
The one thing we both agree on is no Rex Ryan. Steve is in Poughkeepsie. What's up, Steve?
Hey, I actually disagree with you guys. I would like Rex Ryan. I have a 2-minute plan for the Jets. I'd like to bring in Rex Ryan. I either want to bring in Mike McCarthy or Peterson as the offensive coordinator.
Oh, God, stop. Stevie, hold on. Let's Stevie. This is Earth calling, yeah. Stevie. Hold on, Stevie, buddy. And let me just intervene for a moment here, Steve. Mike McCarthy is currently the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. The Chicago Bears, are requesting... Okay. The ability to speak to him. He's going to come and work under a guy that's been, given hot takes in a studio for 7 years, and most of the hot takes not even good? Really?
I mean, McCarthy and Peterson, both your guys you want to bring in, won Super Bowls as a head coach before. They're going to coordinate under Rex?
Come on, Steve.
Well, that's how you rebuild. Don't you agree a coach going right from one team to another rarely works out, so they got a year to rebuild?
For the most part.
Well, if you could rebuild the Jets offense, you'd have 10 people lining up if you could ever bring the Jets success. So sometimes you got to take a step back to take a step forward.
No, but Steve, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much, Steve. But what you're saying is, what you're doing is you're blurring two things. One is true, one is not. Yes, sometimes you do have to take a step back to take many, many steps forward. And I'm okay with that, whether it's now or any other situation with any of our teams. What you're completely wildly off base about is presenting McCarthy working under somebody like Rex. There's no way that's happening.
Right. Why don't you bring McCarthy in as the head coach?
Problem solved.
You're going to bring him in as the head coach.
Yep.
And by the way, because Peterson obviously out in Jacksonville.
Yep.
That was like the dream scenario for the Jets years ago. Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson.
Yeah.
There's nobody who thought that was going to blow up the way that it did. Peterson won a Super Bowl before, an offensive guy, no doubt about it, had the top pick, the no doubt about it, Trevor Lawrence. So that didn't work either. There is no surefire way to do it. Like, we could give our opinions, you could give your opinions, the Jets are going to make their decisions, whatever it may be. There's no surefire way to do it. The one thing, aside from not wanting Rex, the one thing, though, that I just feel is imperative now is to do it for the Jets, to do it differently than what they've done before, meaning finally an established guy, and if not an established guy, then an offensive guy, as opposed to a first-time defensive coordinator. That's the number one thing that I ask.
Listen, when you're always wrong, you would think that doing something different is the right move, and I agree, unless something that is the same appears so different. And I know that seems like a contradiction. Like, if you really think that Aaron Glenn's going to be a superstar, and I think that he could be, I do, I'm in that camp, well, then you defy, the list and the litany of mistakes that you've made for a while. First-year rookie head coach, defensive background. Like, I know it seems counterintuitive to what they're supposed to do, but if you really believe that Glenn's the guy, hit the button. What are you laughing at?
No,
what are you laughing at? I'm reading the Rex quote.
I mean,
what did he say?
I think I'm going to get it because I'm the best guy, and it ain't close.
Like, it ain't clear. It's not close, Rex. Nobody's in your stratosphere, Rex. You're such a brilliant football mind. You're so amazing that every team that has an opening the last 7 years has been banging down your door. Actually, nobody's even called you to talk to you. I mean, come on, man. Yeah. I mean, that's like being on a... we're too old and we met our wives. But, well, you actually did it. I was never on a dating app, ever. Yeah. You know, need to be. Yeah. But also, you know...
sometimes we'll say
No, but like I met Jen in 08, right? Yeah. And but that's like being on a dating app and not getting one single nibble. Take the hint, man.
Right.
I mean, change the profile pic. Do something. Lie. You know, say it's dragging like a horse. Do something, but you got to do something different because nobody's clicking on you. They're swiping right past you.
Yeah, it's a great analogy. BT and Sal, the Fan will come back. Have more of your calls, 888-808-1019. We do want to get some baseball today.
Maybe
touch on the Giants a little bit as well. So plenty
Pete Alonso, hey Boris, Earth to Rex, Earth to Boris.
Yeah, really. I mean, talk about out of touch. Yankees as well, potentially making some moves. So we'll discuss all that as well. 888-808-1019.
Money talks. Money talks.
Oh, yeah. BT and Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call.
God, I haven't heard this one in a long time.
Well, you were breakdancing in this back in the day?
No. This is after breakdancing, actually.
By the way, I will have an announcement. You want it Hoff later today or you want it tomorrow?
I'm going to draw it out this
guy. I want
it
like next year.
I will have an announcement tomorrow on which wrestlers I will... select for you and Hoff to now. So here's how we'll do it tomorrow. The perfect parlay picks thing. I won last year. We lost. We had a dress like Doink and Goldust. So I won this year. So I'm going to pick two wrestlers that BT and Hoff have to dress up as, and then BT, because you finished in second, you get to choose who you want.
Yep.
And then Hoff, it will be left with the results. So I'll announce it tomorrow. Maybe we'll do it this time tomorrow, whatever, 11:20. And then later in the show, I'm going to need an answer from you on which one you're going to be.
I can give an answer right away. I'm sure one of them's going to hit me worse than the other. So.
I've got some good ones.
You do.
And they're not, no nips will be exposed.
Well, hopefully.
Hoff was asking for that. You know what I'm saying?
My wife was asking for
that. Yeah, Hoff's wife was asking not to expose his upper body. So no singlets or anything like that. No singlets for sure, but... maybe some face paint involved.
No, that's always fun. Okay. Whatever we got, I've lost a bet. Whatever we got to do.
And I guess you're going to have, when are you going to decide what you want me to dress up
as? You always ask me.
And it's got to be on
opening. Make up the decision? I don't know.
It's got to be on opening day,
and,
right?
And by the way,
I just want to pay off the bet. I don't like having things hanging over me.
Oh, I do.
Leave things open.
Well, I just got to see how you behave. You know, when you get out of line, I got to make it more painful. No, now that you're back on the good rails, I'm not looking to embarrass you.
I want things closed. I don't even like my text open when I'm done with stuff.
I know who you should dress up as, but I don't think you're going to do it.
Who?
Marla Hooch.
Ooh.
I don't even know. What's that from the movie?
From League of Their Own.
League of Their Own.
Come on.
That's Rosie, right?
Hey, careful. No. I still haven't firmly...
Oh, that's true, Hoff.
I still haven't firmly decided who I want to have.
Let's go with Francisco Lindor.
Yeah.
No, that's too easy. Get out of here, man. It's got to be a Yankee. We'll figure that out.
The other thing is, before we get back to the calls here, it's been almost a year.
Okay.
Since we had the Pull Your Card World Series. Remember, it was a nice battle.
Yes, it was.
And the Pull Your Card games that matter. We went seven games.
Game seven.
And then after that, it was kind of exhibition throughout the course of the year.
Sure.
The World Series starts back up end of January.
And my laptop is still busted. If you take a look at this. It's missing six. Look at that.
I remember
buttons.
Fired that notepad.
I was pissed.
What was it? Rick
it was
Anderson.
It was
Rick
a pitcher,
Anderson.
Right?
Yeah, Rick Anderson, lead pitcher.
Man.
So we got to get, we'll pull your cards this Thursday. We'll do a pick to get us warmed up.
Okay.
And then next week, we'll start game one.
I love doing that.
That was fun.
Dude,
those were intense.
No joke. Cards have made, I'm sure you know this, have made such a comeback. Every party my son goes to, every kid comes home with a pack of cards.
Really?
The kids are so into them.
And now they're like so ridiculously
expensive. It's almost oversaturating. Like, oh, this is an autograph, and this is one of 100, and this one's numbered, and this one has a cloth uniform. Like, it's really, really cool. And the presentation on the cards are phenomenal. Like, they just look cool.
Unfortunately, the majority of them are kind of
worthless.
Yeah, the majority of them. Yeah, obviously, you can get some great pulls, and that's the game to chase. Real quick on that. So, you know, I've been buying these boxes of cards for us to open, right?
Yes.
And I bought, for whatever reason, like hockey cards. I was like, all right, maybe we'll have some fun and mess around, even if I do it on the podcast, the version of the show, whatever. Mess around with Hoff a little bit. And then I was just opening them for myself, me and my nephew. I happened to pull a card. And just like,
what year?
This is 92-93.
Oh, it's a good year. So yeah, 90, Sega. Yeah,
so 92-93, what the hell is the name of the brand of the card? Pro Set. 92-93 Pro Set hockey cards.
Okay.
And I'm just looking for Rangers, and I'm going to, whatever, toss the rest because I just want to keep the Rangers, maybe give them my nephew. And I pull a Kirk McLean card.
Ooh.
That looks like it's signed. And
okay.
I'm like, what is this? Like, and you know how in the new packs, like, you would know,
yep,
here's your relic card, 1 of 100, 1 of 1,000, whatever it is. Here's your auto.
Yeah.
This was literally in the middle of a pack. Like, I was like, what the hell is this? I did some research.
Yeah.
And it was an unannounced autograph card that was inserted back in those boxes. It's supposedly one of the more rare.
What's it worth?
Well, I've got it up on eBay right now. So there are 3 days left to bid. It's going for $104 right now.
This guy's got a little side business.
Yeah, well, what am I going to do with Kirk McLean autograph card? One guy has it on there.
What team was he on at that point?
He was with Vancouver. So this is right before the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, he's playing with Mets What was the goalie's name?
Grant Fuhr? No, he was on Vancouver.
I'm thinking Edmonton. That's right.
Yeah,
my bad. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, Trevor Linden and Pavel Bure. Those teams are the right.
I got to stay in my lane. Yep.
You probably shouldn't be talking about this right now because you know you're going to be missing cards even more now.
Yeah, I know. Well, no. Luckily, those, people.
We get to the bottom of that yet?
And we did not get to the bottom.
We just put a camera in there, so we'll get our answer.
But how about that? Random call. You know what that goes for next week when the bidding ends. All right, let's get back to the phones. 888-808-1019.
No Rex, if you're just tuning in. We do not want Rex.
Well, we disagree.
I don't.
We disagree with certain things with the Jets. Like, at this point of the names there, I would hire Flores. I want Pete Carroll. One thing we do agree on, you know, we could talk about rebuild, keep Rodgers, this or that. One thing we definitely, BT and I agree on, no Rex Ryan, and he is interviewing today for the job. Sean is in Farmingdale. What's up, Sean?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I'm happy you took that call a couple minutes ago about the guy having McCarthy be Rex's coordinator. That's ridiculous. I wanted to give you guys my perspective as a Cowboys fan on McCarthy, maybe a little report card. Definitely raises the floor for the Jets and probably more likely the Bears. Professional, I think he gets a lot of respect from the coaches and the referees. I'll give you the negative, though. I mean, the penalties aren't going to stop if that's what you're worried about. That's for sure. He's a disaster there. And then clock management, which I know is an epidemic across the league. End of halves, you're going to see some stuff that, again, could bust out the Madden right now. I could run circles around him as far as managing a clock. But I think I do think that he works for the Jets. I'll preface it by saying I don't want him as a Cowboy coach anymore, although I don't know who could, work under that regime. But I definitely think McCarthy is an interesting name for the Jets because I definitely think he makes you respectable right off the bat. And I'm here in New York, so I hear you guys. I mean, just getting some respect is a start, and then you build from there.
How about Rodgers? And thank you for the insight Sean. How about Rodgers and McCarthy?
Yeah, I mean,
one more round.
McCarthy's a good coach. He's not great. He's good. He's solid. He's a good NFL coach. Like, I don't need respect day one. I want to get in the position where they earn respect based on the team that they put out there. Like, that's, I don't know. I'm looking to change the bar. Like, change the standard a little bit. I don't need the winning press conference. I don't care about that.
But I feel like you're looking for what we thought Robert Saleh was going to be, right? Like, that leader of men, that alpha male. Saleh looked the part.
Yes.
He wasn't the part.
No, I told you, he looked like Tarzan. He coached like Jane.
Right. I do think Flores can be that guy because he's done it before. He had success in Miami. I liked him in Miami. I thought they made a huge mistake by letting him go. So I love the idea of getting Flores, who's hungry, motivated, chip on his shoulder,
He's from here.
Yeah, I love all those things.
Me too. Like, he's my number one now. Yeah, I don't think Vrabel's coming.
Well, Aaron Glenn, to me, could be that, but he might not be that. And he's not an offensive guy. Like, if I'm not going to go offensive guy, I guess the way to sum it up would be the only way I'd go inexperienced would be if he's an offensive coordinator.
Like a Ben Johnson type.
Correct.
Yep.
Or Liam
Cohen. You mean he's a first-year guy.
Correct.
Yeah, I understand that.
Kingsbury,
I'd
choose over both those guys because he has experience and is an offensive guy.
Yeah.
Those would be the guys I would go.
And by the way, I'm not just saying, Glenn for the Jets because he played for the Jets. Like, to me, and I pointed this out to Sal, like, go look at the depth chart of the Detroit Lions this year. And look at how many defensive players, mainly their top pass rusher, are on IR. So to me, it's a scheme that's transferable to an entire room, and it's not just built around one or two guys being stars, which to me is very appealing. To me, that shows adaptability. That shows a resourcefulness. That just shows me that if things aren't going perfectly, that at least, you know, there's signs that Aaron Glenn would be able to adjust on the fly and still win.
Yeah. Look, I'm not saying that he would be a bad hire. I just think at this point needs some experience. By the way, the Jaguars are interviewing Robert Saleh to be their head coach.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
Are they really?
How about if, you know, Bowles gets his team to the postseason, Saleh all of a sudden takes
Trevor
Lawrence.
Well, now we go on the renaissance of the Jets coaches. Now, first we went through the quarterback tour.
Yeah.
Here's Darnold, here's Geno, Zach Wilson next year probably. Now we just go on the quarterbacks.
I mean,
on the head coaches.
If that happens.
They're not hiring him. And if they are, if they do, they're nuts.
Imagine he, though, did have success. It would just show you that.
I like Robert. He's a good man. I don't think he's a very good coach.
Do you think he'll ever get another head coaching job?
I don't think he gets another head coaching job before he gets a coordinator job.
Right.
I don't think he just I think that he could. He's young. I also think the way that it looked after he left the Jets certainly is appealing.
That's a good point.
To other employers. Same applies to Joe Douglas. So
it got worse after those guys left.
It did. I don't know what Shad Khan's thinking out there in Jacksonville. They are dysfunctional. He's a very trigger happy, quick. I don't know. He's a little messy down there. Same with Tepper in Carolina. But I think that it's an interesting interview. I'd be very surprised if he gets it. You're gonna wait. So let me get this straight. So Trevor Lawrence, who's nowhere near what he was supposed to be, you're gonna align him with Robert Saleh? That's the move? I mean, come on.
Yeah, nah. Just saying.
Yeah. He said a name yesterday.
Aaron Rodgers? Retire and become the head coach?
Joe does say things that sometimes make me think, and then I give it thought. So I gave thought to one of the names he mentioned yesterday, and it has to come in a certain way. It has to come in a certain package. It can't just be the name and we move on. I need to explain how this can occur. But Joe put it out there yesterday. I think he's mentioned it before. Sal has mentioned this name before, too. The name is Pete Carroll. But I want to tell you how I can get to Pete Carroll, and it would be number four. Pete Carroll, see, if I ever was a political advisor and I had an older candidate that was running for president, and I know we've had a few of those over the years, John McCain many years ago, certainly Donald Trump and Joe Biden, what I would tell my older candidate is exactly what I want Pete Carroll to do here.
Which is?
And that is one term, and I'm going to fix everything, I'm going to stabilize everything, and then I'm donezo. And I think Pete Carroll,
but it's smart to be an advisor in the Biden campaign.
Yeah, right. That would have been
years ago.
Exactly. No, and by the way, that's what I would have told him. Same thing with John McCain when he ran it both times. And this is the Pete Carroll feel that I need. He comes in and he sells it to Woody and he sells it to the fans and says, look, I'm here to turn you guys around. I'm here to save you. I'm here to stabilize an organization that I was once a part of. So I know I'm old, and this is really to kind of eliminate the age factor.
Yeah.
Because that was the one thing I said to Joe. I was like, well, he's so old.
Yeah.
And I hate saying that. So Pete Carroll sells us on, I'm going to be the head coach, but I got three priorities when I walk through the door. Number one, I will find the successor to me and he'll be on my staff. And I'll have my arm around him and I'm going to grow the next great head coach for your franchise. That's up to him, by the way.
That's smart.
He's pretty smart, right?
That is a smart
That's number one.
Right, because he's 74 years old to begin the 2025 season.
100%. So he can't do this for 15 years.
No.
So number one, I'm going to find the successor. Number two, you guys need some stability, man. You guys need to turn things around. We need a deep breath. This is your deep breath moment. I know what I'm doing.
Right.
I mean, I didn't know what I was doing when I allowed the fact that it wasn't handed off to Marshawn Lynch and I called a pass play or I approved a pass play. But I know what I'm doing.
I think that was Russell Wilson, by the way.
But you're still the head coach.
I agree.
Buck stops at the top. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but quarterbacks have so much leeway to do whatever they want.
You're right.
At the line of scrimmage.
You're right. Screw Russell Wilson.
I can't put it on Pete. Honestly, I've always put that on Russ.
No, you're probably right. So Pete Carroll comes in and says, I'm here to stabilize the franchise. I'm going to handpick the replacement who will grow over the next few years. And oh, by the way, the third thing, I'm here to win. I'm here to win. Accidentally, we may win a Super Bowl in the next 2-3 years. We're going to try. But even if we don't, we're going to make this organization functional. And when I leave you guys in 4 years, we'll make it like a presidential cycle. I promise you this. I will leave you in a much better place than when I inherited you. And I'm telling you right now,
some other election cycle, because no one's taking advantage of this sage advice. Someone will do that, and they will win, and then they will leave. And that's what Pete Carroll would need to do for the Jets. Sell us on, yeah, I know I'm old. Who cares? I'm here to save you. I'm here to turn you around and then get the hell out, because I can't wait to retire or just go upstairs.
Right.
But I'm telling you, I'm putting the future head coach on this staff. Maybe it's, I don't know. I mean, come up with a young name. That doesn't even matter to me. And that's how I can be drawn into Pete Carroll, because otherwise I would look at the age and be afraid of, he's just going to milk us for 3 years and leave. Right. I want him to tell us, I'm here to save you, stabilize you, and then I will leave.
Well, it's interesting, because that's all, like, we talk about it with whoever it is, Rex Ryan or Mike McCarthy, whoever's doing these interviews, and Brian Flores, Aaron Glenn. It's always about the plan. What's the plan? What's the plan? What's the plan? And that's obviously short term, but long term. So what you're saying is basically, I'm giving you a short-term plan, because that's all I have.
I'm giving you a short-term plan that will lead to a long-term plan.
It will, yeah, exactly. But if you don't do that, then, and if he doesn't do exactly as you kind of laid it out, then the long-term plan is it's murky. It's kind of like, what happens when he's ages out of this thing?
Absolutely.
Or we feel like he's not capable of being the head coach anymore. Like, there's no long-term plan. It's interesting. I never thought about it that way, because it feels fully like a political game.
But
it's actually a smart political game.
I don't want to use recent times because people are too sensitive, so I will use John McCain. If when John McCain ran, the late John McCain in 2008, mm-hmm. if he said, one term, I'm going to give you one term, and I'm going to do a hell of a job, and then I'm out, and the future will then occur, and you'll all be happy. I think he gets more votes. I don't think he wins necessarily, Deke, but I think he does better.
Right.
So I think sometimes being honest and saying, hey, this is a short-term thing, because people are afraid of age. They just are. And Pete Carroll is a wonderful head coach. He's a Hall of Famer. How could anyone be against him? The only reason you'd be against him is because you're concerned about his age.
Yeah.
So calm everybody down by saying, yeah, I know I'm old. That's why I'm here, to not only fix the present, but set you up beautifully for the future. That's how I'd be up for Pete Carroll. By the way, if he does all that, maybe he moves higher than 4.
I don't disagree. I think that's great. Can I add a little anecdote I was alerted to on Twitter? I did a little research.
Yes.
Aaron Glenn has worked for Woody Johnson and the Jets directly as the team scout in 2012 and 13.
You know why I don't count that, though? Like, how much interaction is a scout having with the owner?
Yeah.
I mean, you tell me. Maybe it's more than we realize.
But forget the direct interaction. He's still around the culture of the organization.
Oh, you're right. He's seen it before. It's definitely something. And that's not a negative. It's a good thing. Like, he would obviously know what he's getting into, or at least have an idea of what he's getting into. And that's why Aaron Glenn is 3, because I like him. I think he can be good. I'm nervous about the first time thing connected to him, because the Jets have done this so often. So that's my endorsement list. Vrabel 1, Flores 2, Glenn 3, and Pete Carroll on a short-term, one-term plan would be my foursome. You like my list there, Tash?
I love it. If you got Pete Carroll, would you call it a Christmas Carol for you, a nice gift?
Sure, if it makes you happy. That's okay. Fine. Sam is calling from Miller Place. What's up, Sam?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are you?
What's up? All's good.
What's up?
You know, I just can't listen to the Jets fans anymore. I am a Jets fan, but, like, bringing back Rex Ryan is exactly what we've been doing, which is just keeping the circus going. And everything we've done lately is to grab headlines, make it entertaining, make it fun. I'm starting to think, like, I want the most boring person possible. Like, I want to go the opposite way, because I'm sick of the circus. Everything is the big, you know, if we bring back Rex Ryan, the joke continues. The headlines continue. The spotlight is on us. I want the spotlight off of us so we can fix this disaster and get better.
Sam, I agree with you, but I wouldn't mind the circus if it meant winning. You know, when Rex Ryan was here in the first 2 years, there was a circusness to it, and he caused guys like Sean and Francesa to turn on the Jets because they didn't like Rex Ryan. He was so boisterous and so arrogant, they didn't like him. And so the Jets became kind of public enemy number one. The reason I didn't mind that, and I would engage in fighting with guys like Sean and Mike, were because we were winning.
Yeah.
So if you told me the circus is coming back, but the Jets are going to win 10, 11 games next year, I'd be okay with it. I just don't think it's going to turn into 10, 11 wins.
I just love that you're associating that it comes down to me and Mike versus Rex. I really appreciate it.
I think of you and Mike, yeah.
That's great.
Is that an insult?
No, I actually think it's great. I think it's the first time we've ever been truly associated.
You know who else I think of? There's a third person I think of as a Rex hater who is just so unfair to him.
Who's that?
Mark Melusis.
Really?
Yeah, that's my third guy.
You know what else, too?
And by the way, I love all three guys. It's nothing personal. It's just you guys were very unfair and douchiness to Rex Ryan.
I'm going to give you a little behind the curtain. You know what else made me hate Rex Ryan?
Go ahead.
The way Beningo acted around here when Rex Ryan was the coach.
You're blaming Joe?
Let me tell you something. Here's what people know the negative, Joe. Okay? What people don't realize, when the Jets are going good, Joe gets cocky.
Oh, you mean the Victor Cruz dance?
Forget the Victor Cruz dance.
Was it worse than that?
When a young Sean Morash was working behind the scenes here at the Fan way back when, 2010-11, Joe would come in the morning with his little bag after on a Monday after a Jet win, and he would look at the other Jet fans in the newsroom, Ernie Acosta, Pete Bellotti, and he wouldn't say anything. He would put up the amount of fingers for the record that it was. This always stuck with me. He'd be like, 7-1, 7-2. He would be so cocky in 2010-11.
What's wrong with that, by the way?
Nothing, because I'm the
same. Fit the Cruz dance.
When you're not a Jet fan, and you're watching Jet fans who have won nothing have that cockiness, I remember thinking to myself, you know, nobody on the radio sees this show. I see the show in the newsroom. F Rex Ryan. He's making Joe Beningo look like this?
That was also a younger Joe. This was pre-gout. This is when he was ripping darts. So he had a little more oomph behind that cockiness. I don't think Joe would be like that anymore. No, I think he would just be happy that they're winning.
But that doesn't matter. It scarred Sean for life.
It did.
Oh, please.
It did.
He scarred just you. Success.
But it
he
wasn't.
Thinks about Joe Beningo.
Think about that sentence.
7-1. 7-2.
It was the way he did it. I was like,
but
oh,
Sean,
who is
what you're missing
Joe?
Is that it wasn't Rex doing that to him. It was that the fact that Jets were winning that did it to him.
I understand that, but you combine that with the whole Rex was. And let's
but
be
it's
honest.
Not Rex. Like, listen to that clip he just played. The Victor Cruz dance. This is Joe, audio of Joe, doing the Victor Cruz dance after Jets Giants a year ago.
We'll fit the Cruz dance.
He's excited. Why can't people be excited when their team wins?
I'm not blaming Joe, and I'm also more mature now that I don't have. I'm telling you where the hatred came from. Also, Rex always took shots at the Giants. He made it about a Jet Giant thing, which, by the way, in hindsight, I kind of respect looking back because I want it to be a rivalry. So I've changed on Rex, but Joe made me hate him.
Couple of things I wanted to throw at you with the Jets, though.
Bring it on, man.
Aaron Glenn was supposed to interview yesterday with the Jets. I'm assuming that he did and completed that interview.
Video interview. They're doing a lot of video interviews as opposed to in-person interviews, just so you know. A lot of these teams are.
Well, you do that first, and then if you like the guy, and maybe you narrow it down, and you do the in-person, one of those things. And the other one is Newsday had Mike Greenberg, the Bucks' Mike Greenberg, on the back page. The sports page saying, bring him home.
Oh, there you go.
So they got Newsday's trying to get Mike Greenberg, a Long Island guy who grew up a Jets fan, to get that job. And he is a really, really bright guy. We had him on as a guest. He could be, as you said, the David Stearns of the Jets.
100%.
But there would be some trepidation if I were Mike Greenberg, being the general manager, that being my childhood team, coming back home. Because it's a great story. It really is. It's a great story if you come in and you turn the team around. It's not such a great story if you don't. And you've talked about the other side of things when you're playing in your hometown. And there's players get it, offensive coordinators get it, head coaches get it, general managers get it. I mean, we can rattle off the worst general managers in New York right off the top of our head.
Yes.
And does Mike Greenberg want to take that risk? You got to believe in yourself, but at the same time, it might be easier to, let's say, fail in Tennessee than it would be to fail as the Jet GM.
You know, I'm not saying that this guy should be for the Jets, but, you know, it's interesting that the Raiders fired Tom Telesco. He, you know, was a GM for a long time with the Spanos family out there with the Chargers, and they had very competitive teams. They just could never win a Super Bowl, but they were always competitive. They got the quarterbacks. They had Drew Brees. They drafted Phillip Rivers. You know, he got out there. They always were competitive. I don't know what to tell you other than, you know, he's another guy that has real experience in the league and is a pretty good talent evaluator and knows the inner workings of the league. I wonder if he is up for any of these jobs that are open right now. There's only two of them open. One would be the Jets, and the other one, obviously, he just got fired for.
Right. So now you've got, the three openings.
Did they throw him in the mix?
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine so. I mean, the Jets are interviewing everybody. And the only people that they're not interviewing are, you know, Ben Johnson and John Gruden. Those are the two guys that they're not interviewing. Everybody else has been interviewed as a head coach and all the GM candidates as well.
Again, I went back and asked a couple people that I do know that are in the NFL offices here in New York, names not to be mentioned, and just through that whole thing by them that you had said yesterday about Roger Goodell and all this other stuff. And they all swear to me that, you know, Roger does not get involved with individual teams when it comes to who they're hiring or firing. The only way he would get involved is if there was a violation of the Rooney Rule. Then he would definitely get involved. Now, I believe these people because every piece of information that I have ever been given, it has been accurate to a point where I can be very comfortable saying something on the air here that people may not have heard before. And I've done that.
Yeah.
And I'm just telling you, and they're not protecting their jobs. They're not trying to protect Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell's got enough stuff coming at him. But they say there is no way, shape, or form that he is getting involved in individual team decisions when it comes to who they should hire, who they shouldn't hire, who they should fire, and who they shouldn't fire.
Yeah, I mean, and that is, and I'll believe everything from your sources as well. My take on this was that this is a very unique situation. Of course, Roger Goodell's not going to go to the Jets and be like, you shouldn't hire this guy, you should hire that guy, when it comes to guys that don't have things in the past like John Gruden. However, you know, this John Gruden situation, there is a lawsuit. He did say lots of things about Roger Goodell and also the, you know, the end hate campaign, end racism campaign, all of the things that the NFL puts out there. You know, when John Gruden comes back, if John Gruden comes back into the league, all of those words that he had in those emails are going to bubble up to the surface, and it's just not something that I think the league would want to deal with.
All right, so, you know, I'm a normally, just like you, we're South Shore, Long Island guys, mm-hmm. so we are born with this cynicism within us.
Indeed.
We don't trust anything that we see sometimes. We are very cynical about things that are said, the way that we look at things, what goes on in politics. Fine. You've worked with me for 8 years.
Yeah.
And I've come here with a number of things that, you know, nobody's ever talked about before. And I think it's good news for sports fans. So I bring it to our program. We talk about it. And then eventually what I say ends up happening because I have certain people in my life that give me the honest truth when I ask them a direct question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like what I'm telling you now is...
I just said I believe you.
I know, but I yeah. just... I didn't feel like a real support. I just felt like, I believe you. Like,
well,
that wasn't my point.
I do find it interesting that not a single owner is going to bring in John Gruden for an interview. I mean, not one of these openings. Just bring him in, talk to him. You don't have to hire him. I mean, he's not on anybody's list. I mean, the New York Jets are interviewing. I mean, they interviewed Ron Rivera and Rex Ryan, for God's sakes. And like, you can't bring in Gruden for just a chat?
Well, the other thing about this particular situation, you know, they wouldn't give me any sort of accurate statements regarding any other things that may be attached to that lawsuit. You know, 'cause they couldn't. They couldn't mm-hmm. talk about it. And because I thought that maybe there was something else in the lawsuit when it comes to discovery. I don't know if they've gone to discovery yet or not, that somebody else found out about something else and that it's worse than it actually is. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that would be something that would make sense to me if that were going on.
And that's why I was wondering, like, why nobody is interviewing him now. It's 2025. He's gone through his penalty phase. He stepped away. Then he ended up getting, I'm sure, contacted by a labor lawyer who decided, look, you got a case here. Let's go for it.
Yeah, I'd love to. It's not going to happen, but I would love to speak candidly to John Gruden about why he thinks that nobody is knocking on his door. I'd love to hear that because I'm sure he's got takes.
Oh, I'm sure he's got a lot of hot takes. Well, we see them on Barstool.
We do, but I'm talking about his own personal situation, which he has not talked about at all since being at Barstool. He's not, as far as I know, he hasn't talked about getting jobs, not getting jobs, interviews. I haven't seen any of that.
It's probably off limits when he signed the contract. Just, you know, none of that stuff. I don't want to get into it. It's not, you know, I've said what I've said. I got a lawsuit and I can't really talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, he is phenomenal. And we knew he was phenomenal doing all those games, you know, with Monday Night Football. But, I mean, in this role here, he is just perfect. Even when it's not the sports stuff, it's some of the other man stuff that Barstool is doing. He's just great at it. So even if he doesn't get another look, I hope he sticks with them so we can easily get to his content